But do you want to start?
I'll start. What's up, everybody? You are listening to episode 381 of the Waiting Since Last Saturday podcast. My name is Scott Duvall, and I'm joined, as usual, at the ticket table by my two co-hosts, Will Leach and Tony Waller. It is March. It has been a minute since the three of us got together to podcast about something Georgia-related. And we are here to dive into, we'll touch today on Georgia basketball, Georgia football spring practice, which started today. Definitely think we need to talk about the Diamond Dogs off to a 16-1 start, I think.
And the number one selection in Keith Law's draft.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Number one.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Charlie Condon, I think he's batting 565 and slugging like 1.2200
bombs. Yeah. Like full bombs.
Yeah. And playing, he played five positions last week, too.
Yeah. But we'll get into that if we get through the intro. Sorry, I interrupted your intro.
No. And here is Will to get it started.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, no music in the offseason.
Yeah, it's unplugged.
We can't afford the royalties.
Yes, it's unplugged. Well, Scott, you'll be happy to know that we're going to start this podcast with a discussion of politics and religion.
Awesome.
it was funny. I got a text from
primarily Georgia football.
I got a text from Robert, and I was like, you know, I know everyone's going to blame me for this one, but it was Tony's idea. and I took the hit. But it was fun. We were happy to talk to Jason Kirk, and I understand. But we're going to concentrate on sports moving forward until November. So anyway, it's great to see everyone. It's great to be here. We did kind of want to just fit this in. It's like going to be a short show, which apparently the listeners already know because they know how long it is, even though we don't. It's a short show because
you're right.
Yeah. So the families, because we are in the midst. I don't know if everyone else's family is like this, but like Wynn is on two soccer teams, William's on baseball and tennis, and everything is.
Well, it sums it up. Yesterday, Jack had a golf tournament at Athens Country Club with about 12 other schools at 3 o'clock, and then Walker had a JV baseball game at Oconee at 5:30. So we saw about 8.5 holes of golf. And then made it to the Oconee baseball game. And that's just a random Monday. Yeah. And then today, the reason why I have to leave, I have to go get one of my kids. I have my oldest on standby to pick up my daughter. Jennifer's out at a meeting. And yeah, but you know what? This is what is great about spring.
In like 6 years, right. we're going to be like, what are we supposed to be doing with ourselves?
No.
Can't wait.
Exactly. You're farther along the process.
Yeah, well, I mean, today I'm skating out of here to go pick up Katie from theater or literary team or the JV track meet. I don't know.
Yeah. I occasionally, there have been at least three instances this month. I believe I have waved to my wife in passing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I'll see you probably next week.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. So that's what we're just giving. We wanted to definitely make sure to get together before the tournament because the SEC basketball tournament actually starts. I'm assuming this is coming up soon. We're going to post this soon.
Oh, I'll post this probably tonight.
Yeah. So, so Wednesday the 13th.
Tomorrow.
By the way, happy 4-year anniversary of March 11th, 2020.
Oh, we have Rudy Gobert killed Rudy Gobert. Everybody.
That was I have to say, I always thought that March 11th was going to be like a day that everyone remembered. And I think everyone said like, you know what? I don't want to remember crap. I don't remember crap from any of this. Everyone has literally been the opposite of never forget, which I totally understand.
Right.
Though I do remember the last podcast we did before them. I think it was like late February when we actually met in here and Scott was like, what do you think about this coronavirus? I'm like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I mean, I think it was the Scott Cochran episode.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know anyone from China. So, like, it's fine. It's not going to affect me.
Right.
Anyway, so happy 4 years on that. So, first off, one thing I want to get out there before we get into the tournament. We'll talk basketball first because that's shorter, and then we'll get into football spring because it's spring practice, and then we can do odds and ends. But one thing I did want to say is if you remember last year, we had our NCAA basketball pool. It is through my free weekly newsletter. Hopefully everyone's already subscribing. William F. Leach, LEITH.substack.com. I will send out an email through that. You can also, I think it's the Will Leach newsletter if you type it into your bracket pools. The winner gets, if memory serves, the winner gets a copy of all of my books, or if they request not a copy of all of my books, that's another thing you can possibly win out of this. But you also get to assign me a newsletter topic. And I think we should production meeting while we're on the show. Mm-hmm. I think whoever wins, I do a men's and women's, whoever wins the men's and wins the women's, it should be easier to pick this year because George is going to be in neither one of them, so there'll be no bias. Whoever wins, I say we give them a minute on this show. Whoever wins,
they can call in.
They can call in or record on their personal mm-hmm. devices, and you get 1 minute to talk about how awesome we are, and otherwise we will not run it. So as for, I kind of hinted at this with Georgia basketball and Georgia men's and women's basketball. Women's basketball team really had a rough year, and I would argue. Their season is already over. They lost in the first round of the women's tournament. I went to go watch them play Angel Reese and LSU. I always forget that I have season tickets to Georgia basketball because they've been so rough this year. But I wanted to see Angel Reese and LSU because they're so good and the defending champs. And they were basically down by 20, like five mm-hmm. minutes into the game. I think there's reason to be concerned about the women's program. I would argue more reason to be concerned about the women's program than the men's program. Now, I bring that up because the love we're gonna give to Seth Emerson is we're gonna shout out how he kind of did a very excellent stage setter for the football program that we'll be discussing in a moment. Now comes the stick. He got a little bit of the carrot. Now he's gonna get a little bit of the stick. He did his annual piece on Georgia basketball because I think he went to his first game and unfortunately, it happened to be in the midst of they've lost a lot of the momentum late in the year. It's year two. I think there's been clear improvement. I think you'd like to see them do a little bit better, but I think the idea that, like, did Georgia make a mistake with this hire is a pretty ridiculous notion to bring out there, particularly when you also toss in the piece and they had a chance to hire Hayes, but he went to Georgia State where everything is awful. By the way, Georgia State is like the worst they've been in like 20 years. So I think there's reason to be excited about Georgia basketball for next year. They've got Ace Newell, the great top recruit coming in. There's a couple other guys coming in. But you'd like to see a little bit more of a step forward this year. They should win their opening round game. They're playing Missouri, who I remember when Missouri joined the SEC, and I thought,
I was like, holy cow.
I mean, honestly, like when Missouri joined the SEC, I thought, well, obviously football's going to be a disaster, but like they could win the SEC every year. And they went winless in the SEC. Missouri did not win a single game in the SEC this year, which is pretty remarkable considering they made the tournament last year. So Georgia will play them, and I believe if they win that, they play Florida. Which is always kind of fun. But I think there's been progress, perhaps not as much progress as you would like. But I think if they have this season next year, then
you'd be worried. Yeah.
Then you can be as concerned as you are with the women's program.
Do they have a Dennis Felton run in them?
I mean, I guess it's always possible. I mean, the thing that has impressed me about this team is that they've only truly been not competitive in a few conference games.
The wheels have fallen off late. That's really been the problem.
Yeah, and that they have played like a young basketball team that doesn't know how to close out and win games. Yeah. There have been multiple games down the stretch in the past month, really, where they would be either within spitting distance or make a comeback. I mean, the Florida game that really started this runoff in, when was it, mid-February? Yeah. I mean, Georgia was up 10, 12 points.
I thought they were going to beat Tennessee at home, and Tennessee might be a number one seed.
Yeah, and maybe Tennessee game's even better because I remember that was back in January. Yeah. I mean, they played Tennessee,
and that place was
really tough. They played Tennessee really tough, but Tennessee is a much more talented team and a better team, and they just turned it on. But Georgia kind of incorporated that into their MO, where they would go 3 to 7 minutes in the second half and get out rebounded, 17-3 and get outscored 25-4. Well, you're never going to win basketball games. You just can't win. You can't get a big enough lead. Some of that is youth, right? I mean, it's a super young team. Some of that is instilling the confidence in your team to be able to gut through tough performances, because all teams go through streaks where they don't score unless you're Kentucky, at which point you can't guard. But having said all that, I mean, the team is so much more entertaining to watch. I remember sitting in Las Vegas at the opening, the tip-off game, and thinking, okay, if Georgia goes 500 in the SEC, we might have something. We finished 500 in the SEC, right?
They did not end up making it, but they were above 500 for a while.
They were 9-11, right? I am not nearly as bearish on them as I'm the women's team. The women's team just...
It's a mess.
I don't...
And listen, Joni is not doing great at Texas A&M either.
No.
They should have kept Joni.
Not at all. Yeah. I think it's too early, at least this year, to say they got the hire wrong, because, she was a good coach in Iowa. But you have to see more Cody. The complaint I have about the women's team, having watched them some, and this is purely like, yeah, whatever, but it's like they just went through entire stretches where they didn't play as a team. It was like five different players out there. Weren't on the same page at times. It just felt like, and defensively, they were not connected either. That's a little concerning. I don't know that this talent looks like they have. I mean, when you look at the recruiting standings and things like that, I mean, they're a better than middle of the pack SEC team. And part of it is, frankly, the neighborhood you live in. I mean, there are a lot of really nice houses, but yeah.
But also like it's historic
better than
yeah,
what, and were historically they 5-15.
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a mess. And also historically, Georgia women's basketball has been good,
yeah.
Unlike the men's basketball team. I would argue the program is probably in the worst shape right now compared to what they've been historically is probably the gymnastics team. Like, that team has really fallen off after being... Like, when
you
I moved,
hear anything about gymnastics.
And when I moved here, everyone was like, oh my God, more people go to gymnastics right. than they go to anything else other than football. And that's not the case anymore. I want to put a button on the last thing of this, which is if there's been one major change this year for better... I would say mostly better. I still think there's some worse, though that could be my own personal bias creeping in on that. The environment as segment has been very different this year. The good side of that is clearly, obviously, not just with what they've done, changing the seating arrangements, but like getting students there, getting students in. Clearly, they're giving away student tickets, and I think that's great. I think it's definitely led for a louder environment. I would argue it still led to a somewhat artificial environment. Like, I don't think – I have not got a sense – that the students are more engaged with basketball than they've been in the past. They just have better seats that are being let in and being encouraged to be loud, right. Which is not nothing. That's right. Not nothing. But by the end of the year, that was like they were having trouble filling some of those student seats because they went on a losing streak. And I think you can boost that artificially. And Mike White has talked about that. How different? Because, I mean, obviously students are louder than, you know, middle-aged people that bring their kids. Like, they're obviously louder. They're rowdier. They get fired up in a way that can lead to a better environment. But I also think the way you make a great environment is be good. Like, yeah. That's what happens. I think that the students have helped, and I think putting them where they are, I've learned, I don't have my season tickets, but I still went to a lot of games. I've just learned the best way to experience the game is to sit on the opposite side of the student section because they get up a lot. They don't really pay a lot of attention. People leave in and out. They're always switching seats. They're not the Cameron crazies. Like, there's a lot of students there, and they're making noise. But I would not say it is not like obviously it's not like the football team, but there does not seem to be a lot of like huge fandom from the students. But they're making more noise and making a different environment. I think that was the initial goal. The next step is to get the teams good.
Yeah, the interesting thing that I've noticed this basketball season is, and I think you wrote an article about it, Will. I've watched more women's basketball, college basketball, because of Caitlin Clark. And a little bit because of LSU, but mainly because of just the fact that people are tracking her chasing down Maravich. And it just seems like it's a different game. I can't put my finger on it. Maybe it's the star power of the fact that she's known. But I know who Angel Reese is. Yeah. I know the crazy coach at LSU. What's her name?
Mulkey,
yeah.
South Carolina is undefeated, and there's a fight.
And so, and like, people are going to be suspended. So maybe there's some drama where do they get knocked out in the first round? It's so
person gets suspended. Only one player.
Yeah. Okay,
but they ejected a bunch of people for leaving the bench.
I think another thing has helped us get into that is we have a friend of ours whose daughter is a star at North Oconee, and so we've gone to a couple of her games and seen her. And when I see her, I try to converse with her about the world that she lives in. And so I think it's been really good. And even seeing my kids kind of get in tune to it and my daughter watch it. I never thought I would be praising, not that I had anything against it. I just never watched it.
Right.
It's like, it used to be like lacrosse to me. Like, I don't watch lacrosse. But yeah, I think it's been fascinating to see. And I'll be watching what happens in the tournament as it starts.
Yeah, the piece you're referring to is a piece for New York Magazine, basically saying the headline is women's sports are about to explode. And I think you can clearly see, and I made a financial argument about it and a television argument about it, but what's more interesting is this, is the idea that like, women's college basketball is basically where men's college basketball used to be, which is to say, one of the great things, not only is Caitlin Clark, like, she's a transcendent figure. People say she's Pete Maravich. I would argue she's closer to Steph, in that, like, what Steph Curry really did, Steph Curry was the best player, was a great player, but what he really did was he did something that no one else was doing that looked super fun to do, and everyone can go in the backyard and do it. Yeah. Like, no one can go be Shaq in their backyard. They can go be Steph. They can go be Caitlin Clark. And that's really, really exciting. That's why Angel Reese, who's a great player, she's basically the Hakeem Olajuwon. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not fun to be Hakeem Olajuwon. It's fun to be Steph. And I think that's what, and Caitlin Clark is making shots. Here's the best thing about my Illini basketball team, who I will be seeing at the Big Ten tournament with my son. We're going to Minneapolis this week to go watch them. She hit the shot that broke the record, and Illinois played at Iowa on the weekend. All the Illinois men's players took turns in practice trying to hit the shot that Caitlin Clark hit.
That's
like
really cool.
That's crossover is what that is. Yeah. Like that is something it's hard to imagine ever happening before. And because of that, not only is she announced that she was going pro, which made a big got a New York Times news alert that she was turning pro. They already know the Indiana Fever have the number one pick. So now she's this fully made figure that's already in State Farm ads, that's already said NIL is a part of this too, right? She is basically now built up to where she gets to basically be the Larry Bird / Magic Johnson / the way that, like, when they entered the NBA, everybody already knew who Larry Bird and Magic Johnson was. So by the time that they got there, because they stayed 4 years, because there was no league to leave early for, because it was not, women's basketball is getting bigger, but it's not as big as men's basketball. More to the point, it's not as foundationally transactional as men's basketball is. And so because of that, you actually get what we used to get in men's basketball, which is, I followed this person for 4 years. I know their name. I'm seeing them come up. I'm seeing the rivalries come up. I know who that coach is. I remember that fight. All that stuff is...
It's like the Christian Laettner effect.
Yeah, it really is. And it's helped the game tremendously.
Well, and you throw in Angel Reese and the fact that Ionescu has been in the league a year now. Who was the Notre Dame player that plays for the... Aces.
The one that made that great shot.
Yes. I mean, there are a lot of great individual storylines in the WNBA, and
also Brittany Griner is one of the most famous athletes in the country. Right.
so you know, I would posit that athletically they are very. That game is very different than the men's game. But if you're one of those people like pine for basketball, play the way basketball was played, you should watch the women's game because it is. It's much more of a team game, especially in the pros.
Yeah. And it's a bummer that Georgia's no good because this is exactly the time you want Georgia.
It's when you'd want to be good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you know, I hearken back to the early to mid 90s when I did watch college basketball because of that star power. You could think of Mateen Cleaves on Michigan State, Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley,
Big Dog, Glenn Robinson.
You know, and so you had these characters that you either loved them or you hated them, and you would tune in to watch what happened. But now when I turn on men's basketball, I mean, I see Seton Hall versus Creighton or Michigan State versus, you know, Iowa. I don't know any of the players.
And that's the difference because I'm a huge men's college basketball fan, so I know all those players, but I'm a nerd about it.
Yeah.
And like the casual fan, which is, you know, the way that the world works, is not... Like, do you know who's going to win the National Player of the Year Award in men's basketball?
No idea.
So not only is a man named Zach Edey, he plays for Purdue. He's 7'4" and 325 pounds.
I know who you're talking about.
He actually is about to win the player award. Second player of the year in a row he's won it. First time to do it since Ralph Sampson. We all know who Ralph Sampson is.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody knows who Zach Edey is.
He probably won't play in the NBA either.
I think he'll be a backup center, right? And I think that's another part of it, too, is the way that the NBA plays now is so different than the way... That's why Tom Izzo may very well do a Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're best friends, and they're very close corollaries. And he's basically one of, like, he doesn't like to take transfers. And his team is falling behind because that's not what college basketball is anymore. I don't mind it. I have adjusted to a transfer world in men's basketball because I really love men's basketball, but I understand that the things that held people to men's basketball were the idea of knowing all the players, having them be there for a long time. And it's just not. If you have to work to pay attention to men's basketball, and in a way you didn't used to have to.
Yeah, I remember I think '98 when UNC came to Athens, and it was Vince Carter, Ed Cota.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Georgia took them to overtime and lost. But I mean, that was the highlight of my college career, watching Georgia basketball.
Yeah, and mine was watching Georgia, Alex Kessler shut down Shaq, right? Yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay, football.
One other thing. Now, how do we sign up for the basketball pool?
So the easiest way to do it is after the tournament comes out, I will be sending an email. Go to williamfleach.substack.com. It'll be the top link on that. It's free. You don't have to subscribe. Or we'll put it on our Twitter. I'm sure we'll put it on our the link to men's and women on our Twitter. You can also search Will Leach on ESPN.
I'll try to remember and pop it on my Twitter.
Blue Sky. Okay, thank you for indulging all that. Now it's time to talk about spring football. I now I'm here to praise Seth Emerson because he cares about football. But I thought his stage setter for the Star Spring was really, really smart. Basically, the idea of it's that I'm synthesizing it, but the general idea was for the first time in a year and a half, 2 years, there is a unfinished business all rowing in the right direction. We got something. We got not something to prove so much, so I'm sure it will be painted that way. As much as it is, wait, we're not. We didn't do it. Like we did not accomplish the mission that we had to do. And he tied it to the idea of they're actually going to need that a lot more than they needed it last year because of how hard the schedule is and how much upheaval there, how different everything's going to be this year. The idea that think about of all the tough games they have next year, and we're not even really talking about Clemson to start the season, and Clemson's going to be in like the top 10 or top 15. So I thought it was a very good kind of like laying the groundwork for not only Georgia being having something to overcome from last year, but on the also being, I think, the universal consensus number one team going into next year. I don't think there's really a lot of question about it. And the reason for that is actually not the two national championships, though it's partly that. It's Beck. Like, Beck is, like, he's not only coming in to be, like, he's probably the Heisman favorite right now. I would guess so.
That's wild to me. Yeah. You're not wrong, but it's still wild.
But it is wild to think of Carson Beck. A guy going last season, like, well, let's see.
Right.
Let's see what this guy is. And I if you look at the betting odds, I think he's either first or second for good reason. And I question whether that – don't know if I would put money on that because I'm not sure Georgia is set up statistically for anyone.
Not in that way,
To put up those kind of numbers. But if they go if they go undefeated against that schedule next year and get the number one thing, then I think there's – and he's good. And is he what he was last year? I think it's reasonable. But I think it's more default, the really awesome quarterback for the number one returning team as a favorite as opposed to him actually being the Heisman favorite, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's right. And when you look at the past couple of Heisman winners absent this past year, that's really what you see. You see somebody who is the starting quarterback on one of the best teams. And on top of that, everybody's like, well, Carson Beck's numbers, like, he completed 77% of his passes. And
we're all converts.
For nearly 300 yards a game, and there is entirely a world where he does that again and leads a team through a very tough schedule. I mean, I pick a bone with Seth about the article, but the one thing that I've heard in a couple of, like, you know, some chatter, and this is like, it's March, so you got to talk about something and you have to create some sort of narrative, is this concept that Georgia is facing something or needs to face down something. I mean, I don't think it's like a North Cape incident where you're just going to face the Russian bear or anything like that. But you are in a situation where you've got a really tough schedule and the margin is wider than it was. But when you look at the schedule, there is entirely a possibility of 3 or 4 losses on the schedule without trying. I mean, you have two of the last year's national championship participants, and we haven't even talked about the fact that Kirby Smart is now probably the best, or at least the close to the best coach in college football right now.
Both Stu Mandel and what's the other guy over there? Stu Mandel, the other athletic guy whose name has just fallen out of my brain.
The other guy
who is so awesome that I've forgotten.
Not Staples.
Feldman. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
And both of them, they every year they do their coaching rankings.
One, yeah.
And like, not only was Kirby one, do you know who number two was?
Norvell?
Lance Leipold
was
number two. Okay. And that lets you know how much the gap is in college
Not
football.
Not Kiffin?
Right. No, I don't know.
I think Norvell before Kiffin.
Yeah.
But all that's to say, you still face two on the road, two of last year's Final Four. you also face a Clemson team that is rebuilt. I mean, we hear that. We've heard that for 4 years now or 5 years, but you still face a team that's going to be in the top 10. And you do so with a significant part of your skill players being replaced. I remain very much in the camp of, of course, hindsight's 2020, but this to me feels like another year where everything lays out for Georgia because you feel like, okay, let's say Georgia loses to Alabama and Texas. If those are only two teams you lose to and both those teams play in the SEC championship, the worst thing that happens is you have to go to college, college and play, or Michigan and play the number seven Michigan.
A game you'll probably be favored in.
A game you'll probably be favored in, and I'm definitely going, right? I mean, so, I think we don't have any concept, despite all the thought pieces that have been written, what the change in the playoff means for
is anything teams I don't think anything's official yet, right?
I don't think anything's official, but I think it will be in enough time. Put it this way, I feel comfortable enough with, regardless of how you look at it, that you have to think Georgia is an odds-on favorite, regardless of what you think they're going to finish this year of making the playoff, right? Of all the teams that are out there, just thinking about it. Okay, so FSU, yeah, probably, right? I mean, ACC gets somebody. So, yeah. The Big Ten gets somebody. So, yeah, Ohio State, sure. There's spots to be had.
There's an argument they could get in with three losses.
Yeah, like, but I mean, again, you lose to Texas on the road. You lose to Alabama on the road. And those two teams are playing in the SEC championship. It's really hard to imagine a world where Georgia doesn't get in, even if they're a 10 seed.
Also, like, win one of those games and you can actually have a crap game and probably still get in.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is becoming more like the NCAA tournament where, for better or worse, a bad loss is not, like, it's like by... It's
I'm fine with that. I'm tired of...
if every game means so much. I mean, I think so much.
If there's ever an argument for what you're talking about, it's last year, right?
Yeah, for two different teams, right?
Yeah. Clearly for Georgia. I mean, let's not forget that the season last year went the exact same way that 2021 did.
Yep.
It just didn't land out in front of them the same way.
Right. Yeah. So when you look at a couple of the storylines, that are out there, I mean, I think the first is Carson Beck's comfort with both Mike Bobo and the offense. And then the second is which of the young players are going to step up? This is Georgia, right? This is Georgia. This is the same question that a lot of programs have to answer. A lot of ink can be spilled about, well, Georgia's got 28 new players on their roster, and they're going to be asking a lot of young guys to step up. Okay, well, how's that different than 2018 or 2022? It's not, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is I'm really excited to see how having Mike Bobo with the same quarterback and knowing exactly how he wants to use that quarterback. Because Mike Bobo is really good at developing quarterbacks. I mean, and it's not that other coaches haven't been. It's just he's just really good at it. And then the last thing is it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the defense, because the defense, was not the great defense. It was only the top 10 instead of top 3.
So what do you take of Williams getting moved to outside linebacker, that news hitting today?
I haven't really parsed that. My guess is it has less to do with Williams and more to do what they think they have an inside linebacker. What they think they have an inside linebacker and kind of, I mean, maybe it does say a little bit something about the outside linebackers. I also think he might be a little more effective out there just because of his speed.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to see what happens in the spring. G-Day's the 13th. I have to assume that our schedules align at some point. We can talk before G-Day, but that's a joke. We don't talk before G-Day. I'm going to be epileptic.
You'll just come down here one day.
Sits outside your house with a boombox. But I think that the thing that most excites me about the spring is, and maybe the same thing that excited me about last spring, is like this might be the spring where there are less like, well, what is Georgia going to do about this? The coach is back, and now it's probably the undisputed best coach in the game.
Right.
Both coordinators are back. the quarterback is back. No one really thinks, and of course things can change, but no one really thinks that whatever fall off there is on defense can't be replaced with other players. It's not like last year. It was like, well, this new quarterback and Mike Bobo's now the OC. Or the year before, it's like, should Stetson Bennett have come back, or should Georgia switch from Stetson Bennett? You know, it's a very different world. And I mean, for a long time, Alabama was a one of one program. I think Georgia's that program now.
Yeah, and I think that you're going to hear a lot of people talk about this schedule. You know, road games at Ole Miss and Austin and Tuscaloosa, and then the opening with Clemson. You know, and I think we got Auburn and Tennessee in there as well. But my hot take, and I feel this to my core, is that we're going to look back at the end of November and just be like, okay, yeah, so we had a little bit of a scare at in Austin, and that was it. I think this is completely set up for not only flirting, but a realistic another undefeated season because of everything that has gone on at the people we're competing against and all of the turnover.
You're not getting that, Alabama.
Right.
Well,
no.
But you bring up a great point. If you go and win a road game in Austin, a road game in Tuscaloosa, a road game in Oxford, a road game in Lexington, even if you lose an SEC championship game, the worst thing you're looking at is the fifth seed and hosting a game in Athens.
Yeah. Oh, well.
The very worst.
Twist my arm.
Yeah. Right?
I'll be there.
And then probably getting whoever wins, like, the Big 12.
TCU again, maybe? Yeah. No, they're not any good anymore.
But that's the thing, right? I mean, this is the downside to this is I do think if that happens, if they win all those games, Georgia Tech, like, it may be, like, the walk-on game.
Yeah, like, and you know what?
Oh, sure.
We're fine with that now.
But yeah, like it's not just like get a big lead and chill at halftime. It's the walk-on game.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it is. I think there's a reason, and the point is also, I'm curious, and as we get closer, we'll have more to talk about with this. But I wonder if it will change the fans' views on a loss. Like a loss is like if you lose. Like, let's say who they play second.
Like
between Alabama, Alabama,
Ball
and Texas.
State, A&M,
like
no,
Tech
I mean between Alabama and Texas.
Who do they Kentucky. Play?
No. I mean, they play Alabama. They play Texas. Who do they play second of those two?
Oh, Texas. Texas.
Yeah, Alabama's.
Yeah,
first.
That's October.
Yeah. So let's say you beat Alabama. If you lose at Texas, there's no reason to sweat nothing. Like, there's no reason to sweat nothing at that point. And that is going to be a change. It's going to be a little bit like being a Chiefs fan.
And if they lose
and you still got the number one seed.
I hear you on one hand, and maybe that will eventually happen. I don't think it'll happen in the short term.
No.
One. Two, I still think Green Bay hates losing Chicago and vice versa.
They do.
And I think there's a tribalism there that is comparable between those two, right? Everybody hates the Raiders, right? And I think there's a level of, I don't know. I hear you. And I have to think about that. I could be wrong.
Because, I mean, like, well, I mean, there is tribalism, but I would argue everything now is still just pointing toward the big thing. Like, how upset are you about the fact that Georgia lost in the SEC championship game to Alabama 2 years ago? Or is that one still stinging? Is that one really hurt? No, nobody cares because they won the national championship that year. And even when they lost that game, like, it wasn't pleasant, but no one was, like, despairing because they knew they were going to make the playoffs and go win the championship game anyway. I think that's the point. I think that's where this is going. I think I agree that it's not there yet, but that's clearly for better, and I would argue mostly worse, actually, is the idea that losing, like, it will never be pleasant to lose to Auburn, but, like, it will never be pleasant if they lose to Auburn. It will never be pleasant if they lose to Florida. But all told,
you should see the side eye I'm giving Will.
But all told, if you make the playoff and Florida doesn't and Auburn doesn't, you're not going to sweat that game.
Like, and then you'd have some fans in your mentions. That would be it.
Yeah, and, like, who cares?
Well, they'll make T-shirts.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, I kind of agree with your point. But I love the streak we have against Kentucky. I love
these
the streak
matter.
We have against
I'm not
Tennessee.
Saying they don't matter. I mean, the loss will stink, but it won't linger.
Yeah.
Like, it won't linger the way that these losses have lingered in the past because one loss can derail everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. That's the difference this year. And listen, if they lose to Alabama or Clemson, for that matter, We're all going to be sweating that Texas.
Oh, game. You lose to Clemson, it's you set yourself up for a struggle.
Yeah. Pucker factor.
Yeah.
If you are someone that feels like I'm really going to miss every game mattering, go ahead and lose to Clemson then, and we'll have that. You will have that experience the rest of the season.
Yep.
You'll be able to bring that back.
Love it.
Let's not do that though.
Yeah. Let's not do that. But those are August problems.
Yes.
Because we have a hard stop. Let's talk a little baseball, just a little baseball. Will mentioned earlier that Keith Law has Charlie Condon as listed his number one draft pick.
Number one overall.
Yeah, which is a big deal, right? Yeah. A college player doing that in particular is a big deal. It happens. Yeah. It happens, usually a pitcher, but it happens. Right now, Georgia's pitching is keeping up with hitting. So the past couple of years, Georgia's hitting has been really good. The pitching has been fine at the front end and tapers off through the weekend, which in a league like the SEC, you really need to have three top line starters and at least three relievers that can get you eight innings. Because what happens is when you get later in the season, you come out like gangbusters, win two or three, and then you get a couple midweek games that you lose, and suddenly you're having to put pitchers in when you don't want to. And you know, that goes winning two of three goes to winning one of three. Keep in mind, Georgia swept Arkansas last year on the road. Everybody's like, "Oh my God, look at this! That was early." Yeah. And then they turned around and spent a lot of the rest of the season being really competitive, but usually only winning one game.
And I think we can draw a correlation to how we felt after Georgia basketball beat LSU.
Yeah,
they really hadn't played. Everybody's like, hey, tournament and everything. It's kind of similar to where baseball is right now. Like 15-16-1, they're playing Iowa tonight. Let's wait till we get into conference play. I think Kentucky's a very good team to have to – I mean, good, meaning like a good matchup for Georgia for the first SEC weekend coming up this weekend. You know, you're not going into Texas A&M. You're not going into Arkansas or LSU. It's a nice see what you can do. But – to be fair, I think Kennesaw State took 2 of 3 from Kentucky last weekend.
Yeah.
So, it's so exciting to me. I loved watching Wes Johnson last year. He was the pitching coach at LSU.
And I can't overstate how cool, I mean, really, it's pretty awesome to have a dude that might be the number one overall pick.
Guys,
like, just to remind you, here are the most recent number one picks. Last year was Paul Skines, who's just drafted by the Pirates, but he may be in the majors this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just last year's draft. The one before is Jackson Holliday. Jackson Holliday is the rookie of the year favorite for the Orioles. The year before that is Henry Davis for the Pirates. He's a little bit younger. But after that, Spencer Torkelson, already a star for the Tigers. Before that, Adley Rutschman, this great player for the Orioles. Year before that, Casey Mize, really good pitcher for the Tigers who's had some issues. Royce Lewis, this terrific player for the Twins. Mickey Moniak did not work out. But Dansby Swanson will be was 9 years ago.
Wow.
Is that pick? Let's know how old we're all getting. I mean, the point is, like, being the number one overall pick, particularly now, particularly when you are a hitter, is a fast track to the major leagues. Put it this way. If you want to, you've got a chance to see not just an MLB player in the next 2 years, but a guy that everyone's going to be talking about. I work for MLB.com. There's nothing in the world they love more than pumping up phenoms. Remember Anthony Volpe and Jordan Walker at the beginning of last year? That's all everyone was talking about with those two guys opening the major league. So if you want to see, that's a rare thing to be able to have a number one overall pick this close.
Have we ever had one in baseball?
Not that I know.
Yeah, not that I know.
Had one in basketball and football.
Someone's young.
Yeah, that'd be a good trivia question. I'm going to say no. I couldn't even tell you like the last top 10 pick Georgia baseball had in the draft. I mean, I know.
Emerson Hancock.
20 Hancock, okay. Right?
Hancock.
Yeah, Hancock, yeah. Anyway, as low we're talking about baseball, we're here recording on March the 12th. I should remember that. It's my daughter's 16th birthday. Happy birthday, Katie. It's the first day it feels like spring. I got a little baseball fever when I walked out of campus today, walking to the parking deck. I was like, oh, yeah. Let's hear a little slap of the leather and a little ding of the bat there.
Yeah, it is good to have the spring-like weather. It's about 73 degrees, Chamber of Commerce Day.
Yep.
We started baseball in the high school level back in mid-February and played about 5 games and then went probably 13 days without baseball because of all of this March weather. And so now, had a game last night. We got a game Thursday and Friday. So it's been really fun.
Yeah, and we've been dealing with track, although we did have the East
Jackson. Does track get rained out
like baseball does? It can, but the East Jackson track invitational last weekend went. Charlie won shot put.
Nice.
Finished, I think, fifth in discus. A big invitational in Athens this week. The Luck Johnson will be at Cedar Shoals. So he'll be over there throwing in that. And yeah, you know, it's funny. We now have this our fifth year doing the track, and we haven't had the bitterly cold. Like, we've always had one meet, usually at North Oconee, it feels like, where it's been really cold, and we hadn't had that. It looks like we're going to avoid that.
Yeah.
We've also had a couple where it's been like spitting rain. The difference between, like, you can, as long as it's not a deluge, they will run. They might not do some of the field events, but we haven't had any field events rained out this year, which is saying
I'd
something.
I'd like to see the long jump in a pouring rainstorm when they land in the sand.
They don't do that.
You can get an awesome slow motion video of that.
Very
awesome.
Yeah, they can slip on the board.
that sounds like a them problem. Yeah. I'm just watching.
And for discus and shot, if it gets too wet.
You slip that thing out of a hand.
Well, it's not even slipping out of the hand. It's like you lose traction.
They have netting, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
They lose traction in the you lose traction in
there. More entertaining if they didn't.
Yeah.
Javelin, slippery javelin.
Yeah, they don't do javelin in high school in Georgia.
No, they don't.
So. No, it's very dangerous.
Yeah, I guess so.
This is why I'm a child of the
80s. We had lawn darts when we were younger.
Real lawn darts. Absolutely real lawn darts.
Absolutely.
And we never played lawn darts. You know what we did? We threw them up in the air and see who would run.
100%.
Acid. Yeah. Which is why they banned them.
Yeah.
This is how I know I'm a child of the 80s. I have the problematic thought of every time I think of a javelin, I think of Revenge of the Nerds. It's
yes, true. Of course.
It's
of course.
True. It's a very problematic movie. Yeah.
You go, Lamar. You go.
There's a man on the mic that called Lamar. Okay, so trivia question. Yes. Now that you're here, Georgia has never had a number one overall pick before.
Baseball.
Give me their last two top 10 picks before this. Hint, they both made the majors.
So you said Emerson Hancock.
He was not top ten. He was close to top ten. Forget. He was number six. So okay. before Emerson Hancock.
Jeff Kepinger?
No, not Jeff Kepinger. The first was in
Gordon Beckham.
Gordon Beckham is the most recent one in 2008. The other one is not only in the majors, but it was a very successful pitching coach for years after that.
I was going to say...
Including, I believe, briefly, for the Cardinals. He was a bullpen coach for the Cardinals.
Okay, so it wasn't Carpenter.
No, that's a different... And there's also two different... The Chris Carpenter pitch for the Cardinals...
Right.
Actually, there were two Chris Carpenters pitch for the Cardinals.
That's right.
One was really, really good, yes. And one went to Georgia. Sorry.
I always conflated the two. Also, it was a punter for Georgia.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Let's see. What year or time frame?
Jeff Kepinger, by the way, was the fourth round pick in 2001.
Fourth pick. Okay.
The year is 1987. Ooh. And here is your pick. He was drafted the same year. And number 14 overall was Chris Carpenter. This person was the sixth overall pick in the same year.
I can picture him. God. That's the first time Georgia made the College World Series.
Was it Stan Payne?
Not Stan Payne.
No, Stan was in 90. I don't know if Stan actually got drafted. Yeah, I'm going to be so mad.
He went to the A's. He pitched for the A's.
The answer is Derek Lilliquist.
Oh, yeah.
Lilliquist.
He pitched for the Braves.
Yes, he did.
Derek Lilliquist, a terrific guy. And my last little baseball-related thing, obviously everyone's all doing baseball now, a shout-out to a very awesome guy that I got a chance to meet and coaches baseball around this area, Jake Westbrook.
Jake Westbrook
is an awesome, awesome guy. As someone that, if I'm being entirely honest, am generally skeptical of the people that dedicate that much time to youth baseball.
He's got the time now.
Yeah, well, I always argue that...
And the means.
This is why I'm a bad coach. I'd be a bad coach, because I'm like, this is supposed to be fun, and they're like, and not everyone feels that way about it. And some of them, I would argue, are too hyper-intense to... My argument about coaching kids baseball is you have to make sure they like the game and not turn it into another class that they have to do. And I've heard nothing but awesome things about him for a very long time. It was very pleasing to have that back.
He pitched for the Indians.
Yeah, he won game six of the 2011. He won the David Freese game. He was the one he pitched for the David Freese game.
Wow.
Okay.
So he was actually kind of a disappointment for the Cardinals on the whole. However, more than made up for it by the fact that he won the David Freese game and has a World Series ring with the 2011 St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, you had a little something for us?
Yeah,
something?
Yeah, we got time. So talking about college football, this will be kind of fun. Beginning with the 2024 season, what will be the largest conference? Like the most schools?
I mean... I want to say the Big 20 or whatever it is, but I don't think that's right. The American.
I'm talking like Power Five.
Okay.
Power
five. Well, it's got to be the Big Ten.
The Big 12. Big 17.
Big Ten has 18 teams. Yeah. And then who is second with... I won't tell you how many teams.
The bottom, by the way, the way they're doing the basketball tournament next year is they're dropping the bottom three teams. They don't even make the tournament.
Good.
They're just going to do 15 out of 18.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah, please bring back Juwan Howard so he can take one of those spots.
Probably the SEC.
That is not correct.
SEC has 16.
There's a conference with 17 teams.
Oh, the Big 12.
No.
ACC? ACC has Stanford and Cal and...
Oh, SMU.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot that SMU paid to be in the conference.
Which is a very SMU thing to do.
Yeah. That is definitely... It is a campus full of people that feel like money will take care of everything for them. How about that? We'll put it that way.
The SEC has 16, Big 12 has 16, and the Pac-12 has 2.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
By the way, I know this is totally aside. I love the level of spite that Oregon State and Washington State are showing. Love it. Big fan.
Root for Washington State, who's really good and going to make the tournament.
Yeah.
Root for Long them run. To win the Deep Pac-12 run. Tournament this week. If it's in Vegas, it's the last ever Pac-12 tournament. Root for Washington because they're good enough to. They're certainly good enough to. They're going to make the tournament. It would be because it will basically be.
Well, they finished second behind Arizona.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, I mean, there will be like some track stuff and there'll be some baseball stuff. But for all intents and purposes, it will be the last real thing that the Pac-12 ever does. Pretty cool if Washington State were to,
absolutely.
Were to
win that thing. Regarding football, the top two teams in each league in these Power Five schools or teams, I guess Oregon State and Washington State will play each other. I don't know. They'll face each other in their respective conference championship games. The four highest ranked conference champions will earn the top four seeds and receive a first round bye and the playoff. The other eight teams will play in the first round, with the higher seeds hosting, lower seeds either on campus or at other sites designated by the higher seeded institution. It's kind of like college baseball, isn't it?
It is a little bit. And I've heard a lot of people like, well, that doesn't Notre Dame get screwed? No. Notre Dame's virtually guaranteed to host a playoff game.
Yeah. They don't get a bye.
They don't get a bye. They get to host a playoff game with their own TV package, and they get to keep all the money.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind because
no one's crying for Notre Dame. I don't even hate Notre Dame like everybody else does, but like no one should ever feel bad for Notre Dame.
Do not cry for Notre Dame.
Any team that does not earn the luxury of a first round bye will have to win four straight games to win the national championship. And here are the dates.
So that means Georgia Tech's out.
here are the dates. First round on campus, Friday, December 20th, one game that evening. Saturday, December 21st. Three games, early afternoon, probably 1 o'clock kick, late afternoon, probably 4 o'clock, and then evening, 7:30, 8 o'clock. That'll be a hell of a day.
Yeah.
I mean,
sign me up.
Yeah, hopefully Georgia. I'm fine if Georgia's
everybody get the Christmas shopping done a couple days early this year.
Georgia.
All Christmas shopping early.
I tell you, they better not get the 1 o'clock game for hosting. If they're hosting, can you imagine Athens losing their collective mind at the TV networks if they post them for a 1 p.m. kickoff versus...
I mean, you hope Georgia's the fifth seed and they're playing, you know, Arizona State.
I'm curious, how do you think they will do tickets, like students, for example? Like lottery. Most students will be gone. But I'm saying most students...
I don't
students,
know. It's
most
fair. Students will fair, be gone. That's a fair point.
I'm actually pretty curious about how that would work.
And I also wonder if, because it's the playoff, if the campus sites get to control tickets, because that is not
that's
something
an
that
excellent
happens.
Question.
I don't know.
Like, do season ticket holders automatically get... tickets?
Yeah, priority. Yeah.
I think so.
So
quarterfinals, Tuesday, December 31st, the Fiesta Bowl that evening. Wednesday, January 1st, you got the Peach Bowl early afternoon, Rose Bowl, of course, at 4 or 5 o'clock, and then the Sugar Bowl that evening. And then the semifinals, Thursday, January 9th is the Orange Bowl. Friday, January 10th is the Cotton Bowl. And then the national championship all the way down to Monday, January 20th.
It's like a year from now.
Yeah, I know.
My goodness. January 20th.
Yeah. Is that a Monday night? Of course it is.
Of course it is.
God, you're killing me.
Yeah. I don't know. You have Friday or Saturday?
But yeah, there's
Thursday.
So in other words, definitely like that week between Christmas and New Year's, which is generally my favorite week of the year because it's the one week I'm just finally off.
Yeah.
And not this year.
Not anymore.
No. Not this year, to say the very least. But well, gentlemen, it has been excellent to get together
with
you.
We're going to
hit the post.
Yes. Nailed it. Yeah. No, I didn't.
No. Will was finishing. I was just going to say we're going to hit the post. Like, we're going to
Exactly. Right at the this time. Is who we are. You know what? We're one take us. That's what we are. We are one take us.
People say.
Well, we will get together before G-Day. We will get together before G-Day. I don't know how, but we're going to try. We'll get together before G-Day. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy spring, but I'm glad we really fit this in, even if it was shorter, because I miss you guys. It's good to be
here. Good to see y'all.
And also, look what happens if you leave us alone for too long. We just start like Scott's like, wait, what's this? Wait, what? Wait, why is Robert yelling at me? So we'll try to get together before that happens. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your spring, everyone, and we'll talk to you before G-Day. Until then, go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs. That was weird. Kind of fun.
Out.